Let's close our eyes this morning before the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee and praise Thee for these words we've been singing. Jesus came along and He touched me, and I will never be the same. We thank You, Lord, for the time in our lives when You touched us and changed us, and we'll never be the same again. What a privilege it is this morning that we can say we're saved by the grace of Almighty God. We thank You for Your grace this morning. We thank You, Lord, for abundant grace, for sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Father, will You come amongst us and bless Your word till our hearts? Will You touch lives this morning? Touch our hearts, we pray. Jesus Christ's name, touch Your own people. Bless Your own people. Bless those that's here and those that couldn't be here. And Father, touch bodies and touch lives and speak till us especially. From Thy word today we pray in Jesus Christ's precious name. Lord, I take the promised Holy Ghost by faith, and I thank You, undertake for me in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's turn to 1 Kings. 1 Kings, and it's chapter 17, verse 1 to 3. But I won't hold as long this morning. I'm timing myself. I'm trying to cut them down to half an hour preaching. Half an hour preaching. I know some of our meetings are too long. Preaching's too long. I believe that. There's a lot said, very little done sometimes. But I believe that, you know, 30 minutes, if it's from the Lord, 30 to 45 minutes is enough. I believe that. Let's read this from the verse 1 of 1 Kings 17. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord come unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, type of the cross, that I may go and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. You may be seated. We know that God will bless the reading of His own precious word. Be certain of God. This is the message I preached. This must have been a dusty, hot morning. And you imagine the sin that was in the land here in Kings, and Ahab was reigning as king, and he failed to please God because he disobeyed the commandments of God. And you cannot go against God then, and we cannot go against God now. And you know the thing that he did as well, he married an unbeliever, he married Jezebel. God wasn't happy with it, and God wasn't happy the way Israel was going, and God wasn't happy the way things was taking place. But even in the midst of all this, God had a man called Elijah, and God had provision for him. No believer should ever be married to an unbeliever under no circumstances. I tell you, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 6:14, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what shall fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion have light with darkness? God wants His people together with people of like precious faith. If you're a Christian young woman or a Christian young man, you need to look for a Christian man and a Christian woman. Don't be unevenly yoked. And we cannot put anything before God, but a lot of people do today, sadly. God's not first today for many people. God fits in wherever He fits in. But God wants to be first, and God must be first. And God must be first, and when a nation turns away from God, judgment always follows it. And that's what's wrong with England today, and that's what's wrong with many countries of the world today that have turned away from God. And a lot of people, I'm sure, have said to you this week, what do you think of this law that passed in the south of Ireland? But you see, what we must understand, and I've been reading a little bit about the Reformation, and you see, we're the last stronghold of it. But the devil's at his work to break that and stop that. And what's to tell you that it's all past today, and there's nothing to it, and there's no difference in any of us, but there is a difference. We're Christians, we're believers, we're protestants against all that's against the Word of God. We should protest it. And we can't be against life, we have to be for life. So we're against what they've voted for, and we're on for the right thing. Israel here was sent great prophets, but she reaped what she sowed. And so will every nation, and so will every person reap what they sow. And we often mention the Wigglesworths and the Wesleys, but that lets you know, look at the great men God sent England. Look at the great moves that England saw. Wigglesworth, Wesley, Spurgeon. Look at the tabernacle the brothers come back from the other week. And yes, it's still a good size, but it's nothing to what it used to be. God did visit England. God did visit this country. But in all, God's visitations are worse today than they've ever been before. And every nation that turns their back on God, God will judge that nation. Galatians 6 and 7 tells us, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. And if you reap to the wind, you'll reap the whirlwind. If you sow to the wind, you will reap the whirlwind. And I tell you, this country's gone down the plug hole, as it were. You know that's the truth. We need to be praying, as we've heard before, for those that have a saying that's in a place of authority, to keep a stand for the truth. We must be certain of God. And all of this, we must be certain of God. Elijah was certain of God. God said to Elijah, there's a famine. But even in the midst of the famine, Elijah was fed. Even in the midst of the famine, Elijah was kept. Elijah had fresh water when the water brook was dried up. Elijah had fresh meat when there was no fresh meat. God preserved Elijah. God kept Elijah. And even when there's a famine for the hearing of the word of God, and a famine for the people of God, God's real people will be fed. God's real people will be kept. God will see till it. But you must be certain of God. Not certain of the organization, but certain of God. Doesn't matter what the condition that, to be honest with you. And they've no conception of God and the things of God. And you're just always going to the Bible, rubbing, shoving religion down our throat. And that's the young people today. They don't want God and they don't want the things of God, but judgment's coming. And we as believers need to live a life that's an example. And we need to stand for the truth of God. Or else God will bring judgment. Psalms 42 verse 2 says, "My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" And God wants us to thirst after Him. And God wants us to hunger after Him, not all these other things. This poor widow woman that saw the end was coming near. She had no husband. And the famine in the land. She would have been praying. Sincerely praying. Meal was almost run down. Down to one handful of meal and a spoonful of oil. And you know, sometimes God lets us go like that. I can't explain that. You can't explain that. But sometimes in the Bible, God lets it go like that. God lets it go here at the last. And sometimes we don't understand why, and we can't explain that. But many times it's because God wants us to believe Him. And He wants us to be certain of Him. And even when the barn looks almost empty, and even when the oil looks almost empty, we need to be certain of God. This woman here was going to bake her last meal for her and her boy. And you know, when we meet every requirement and yet God lays silent, and you know, you turn over every stone and still God sits silent, that's when you have to be sure He is God. When you've met every requirement, you have to be sure He's God. Even if you say, "God hasn't spoken to me," God's silent. That's when you need to be sure He's God. That's when you need to rely on your typos. On the place where you first met the Lord. And you go back to it and you stay there. It's a typos. Place of safety and anchor for the soul. You have to be certain of God. That's when faith goes to work. Faith holds steady. Hebrews 11 verse 6 tells us, "For without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." God wants us to have faith. There's another scripture says, "Shall He find faith in the earth when He comes?" The Lord's looking for faith. He wants us to be certain of God. Don't back off, but hold on in faith. Be certain of God. Isaiah 40:31 says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." You say, "Brother, how am I going to get my strength?" They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. The secret of strength is waiting upon the Lord. "They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk on that feet." God wants us to wait on Him. Waiting doesn't mean praying, you know. There's praying and there's waiting. And this here says wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. What will I do? Nothing. That's the hardest thing, isn't it? Because you want to do something. You want to be able to do something. You want to be able to put something to it. But God's saying you have to do nothing. But wait on the Lord. Just wait before the Lord. Elijah just waited till he heard from God. Then when he heard from God, he had the word of the Lord. He didn't need two words, just the one. He was certain of God. This widow woman went and gathered two sticks and tied for the cross to bake her last meal. And then her and her boy would die. but they were certain of God. They were on a death sentence. You know the whole story, how it goes, that anyone asked the Magician Save of the God of Nebuchadnezzar would be put to death. And these men pray. And then they come in and told them at the time of the harp and the solitude and all the different music, you have to bow down and worship Nebuchadnezzar. And you have to say, "Great is Nebuchadnezzar our God. Great is Nebuchadnezzar our God." But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, "We won't bow down before the king. We will only bow before the one true God, the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. We won't bow down at the sounding of the music before the God, before Nebuchadnezzar. We won't bow before the image that's been set up. We won't bow. And if you don't bow, you're going to be burned." And they say, "We'll burn, but we won't bow." And they refuse to bow. And they say, "You're going to be burned." And I tell you, there's many laws of the day that put petitions on people, and it's going to get worse. It's not going to get better, I'm telling you that. You think of it when the mark of the beast fully comes in. Revelation says no man could buy or sell save he that had the mark or the number of the beast. No man. That's the way it's going to be when the mark comes in. And because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego wouldn't buy, they took them and threw them into the furnace. And the Bible says they turned up the furnace seven times more than it ought to be heated. And the men that threw them in were consumed with the flames. And the king looked into the furnace and he said to his men, "Did not we cast three men into the fire furnace?" And he said, "Yes, O king, we cast in three." And he said, "I can see four. Who is the fourth man? Who is the fourth man? One like unto the Son of God. Who is this fourth man?" I tell you, this is the fourth man that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were certain of. This is the fourth man that Elijah was certain of. This is the fourth man that you and me must be certain of. No matter what news we have, no matter what we've heard, no matter what comes our way, we must be certain of God. And you know, they throw them in, their hopes and their hats, all their clothes, everything, thrown into the fire furnace. Or Robert said, he says, "I guess that God made them asbestos suits so the flame wouldn't touch them." But I don't believe that. I believe in the way Brother Branham said it. Brother Branham said that God just brought his presence in. And they heated the flame with no power over them, because there was someone else in there that was greater than the flames. There was someone else in there that was greater than the heat. The fourth man was in there. The one that sticks closer than your brother was in there. The one that says, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. No, I'm with you always on to the end of the world." He was in the midst of the flame. And he took the heat out of the furnace. That king looked in. Can you imagine it this morning? None of us is in that situation. None of us is in the situation where we're going to be thrown in and burned in a fiery furnace. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were certain of God. And that king looked in and he said, "O servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither." And he said, "Let a petition be wrote up that nobody can worship no other God but the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." I tell you, the fourth man still moving today. Be certain of God. When Job was certain of God, Job lost his house, Job lost his children, Job lost his ox, his sheep. You read all about Job. Job had a lot of stuff. Job was a wealthy man. He lost everything. His own wife said, "Curse God and die." But he said, "You're talking like a foolish woman." He was certain of God. Even though he'd lost everything, he was certain of God. Then the devil comes and says, "Smite him in his body and he'll curse you and die." And God permitted it. God permitted it. And you can read it in Job chapter 2, verse 6 to 10. "And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, he is in thy hand. Job 2 verse 6. But save his life. So went Satan forth from the pride of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his head, foot to his crown. Verse 8, and he took him potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? On all this, Job did not sin with his lips. He believed God. He was certain of God. Certain of God even when he lost his sons. Certain of God even when he lost his daughters. Certain of God when he lost his ox. Certain of God when he lost his sheep. Certain of God when he lost his camel. Certain of God when the house fell. Still certain of God. You know, people don't understand why Jack Cole, and I'm talking about the original Jack Cole, why he sang that song. Though God slay me, yet I'll trust him. When he's done, I'll come forth as gold. For I know that he still liveth, for I feel him in my soul. Jack Cole said he lay in a trailer, just over 100 pound weight, given up to die. But he says, Jesus stepped in and healed him. And he says, look at me tonight. And you know, when you met him, the brother said, what happened to you, brother? And he said, 2 T-bone steaks after every service. He went away over 200 pound weight. You look up on YouTube, see the size of him. He's a big man. But he was almost dead. He followed William Branham to see him during the discernment. And he said to William Branham, tell me what's wrong with this woman. Brother Branham said, it doesn't work like that. This is not done just to like that. But the Lord spoke to Brother Branham. Said he will have a ministry similar to your ministry. He is also called to pray for the sick. Showman. And he told him what's wrong with the woman. And Jack Cole seen it one time. That was it. One time. He didn't go and preach William Branham. Jacob went and he preached Jesus Christ the same yesterday, the same today and forever. And he prayed for people and God healed them. Amen. And in one of the largest tents in the world. And God used Jacob, and Brother Branham said, Jacob had bulldog faith. And they put him in jail 3 times for practicing the medicine without a license. So many people were healed in his meetings, they jailed him. They said he was using the medicine without a license. You know the story for the woman? She had the stone. Her legs had turned to stone. She couldn't walk. She called for a Methodist minister. Her son was at closed meetings. The son come back and he says, Mama, I think it's real. God's moving down there. She called her Methodist minister and the Methodist minister said, yes, there's scripture for it. Or God can heal the sick. Scripture for it. They took her down to the service and Jack Cole prayed for her. He touched her and the power of God came on her and went right through her whole body. Laid his hand on her and the power of God went through her. She got out of her wheelchair and she danced all over the tent. And she came home rejoicing with her son. The doctor came to see her. Mrs. A. A. Hardy was her name. The doctor took out his rubber hammer and he hit her on the hands and he hit her on the knees and he hit her everywhere. And he says, now tell me one more time what he done.
false prophets and march me down through the streets of India, Bombay. Brother Branham prayed and said, Lord,
do what you already showed me.
Just like Elijah in the Bible. You say that was William Branham. No, that was Jesus. He just used William Branham. He's the same today. And 30,000 people were converted in one altar call. I know you have all these old hypocrites today that go on the internet to disprove this and disprove that. But none of them ever appeared when he was living. Sure they didn't. But it's amazing how they all come out now from the closet. They can stay in the closet as far as I'm concerned. Don't want them coming out near me. Amen. Be certain of God.
If you met every requirement, and I'm only going to have 5 more minutes. I've preached almost half an hour, you know. I know it doesn't feel like it.
I tell you, God's real. If you met God's requirements, what is God's requirements, brother? Acts 2:38. Repent ye therefore, every one of you. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
He met God's requirement, James 5:14-16. Is any sick amongst you, let him call to the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with the oil, the prayer of faith. Anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. And the affectionate fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
You met God's requirements, Mark 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. This is God's requirement. We've done it.
What are you going to do now?
Nothing.
I'm going to be certain of God.
Amen. Certain of God. Brother, what are you going to do?
Nothing.
He has done it all.
Amen.
He says, be still and know that I am God. I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am thy help from the evil strength of thy bones. That's God's word. Beloved, I wish him of all things that thou mayest prosper and be in good health, even as thy soul does prosper.
You might requirements. Be certain of God. Be sure. Don't doubt. Like these modern so-called preachers, 2 Timothy 3:1-5, and know also that in the last days perilous times will come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient, parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce despisers of those.
Testimony I heard this week.
There's a wee man I know. He's lucky if he's 5 foot. I guess nobody here would know him. But I went to help him paint a roof this week in his house. And he says to me, you know, I had a fear of dying. He's about pension age now. But I got saved. I said, Tommy, that's great. He got saved.
We father
see. I met his brother-in-law. He's a real Christian man. He's serious for God and the things of God. You call him Alan Robinson. Not the Robinsons over here now. These are different Robinsons. He gave me a tape of a policeman, an RUC man, who's converted. I can't just remember this man's name. But this RUC man was up away, you know, up round Armagh, way up that way. Then go back to the time of the Troubles. And he says his job was a community police officer.
And he met all the people in the area, and there were 90 some of them beside Catholics, and he said they were lovely people. And he tea in all their houses, and he got to know all of them. And as anything strange going on, he investigated or any empty houses, he would search them. But one morning in a search, there was a house booby trapped, and he was blown up. And he lost eyesight in one eye, and when his family came to see him, they didn't even recognize him. They thought he would die. They thought he would never live. So badly injured. And as he lay in hospital, and there, they had him in the hospital, and they had to go through various different operations and everything. And he says, who did they put across from him in the bed? A man called Michael. And Michael, he could hear Michael screaming and squealing, because Michael, they didn't think would ever see him. He was an IRA bomb maker. And while he was making a bomb, he blew his two hands off. And they thought he would never see again. And he lay in bed across from this RUC officer. And when the RUC officer's chief in charge came in, he said, what do you think you're doing? Get me out of here. Laying across from him. And they moved him to the room by himself. But cutting the story short, this RUC man got saved. God saved him. Wonderfully delivered him. God started to use him. And some 10 years later, he was in the Baptist church on a Sunday morning. And the pastor got up and he said, now don't miss tonight's service. We have a special speaker coming tonight. I'm not telling you who he is, but don't miss tonight. The man we've coming tonight, you need to hear him. And this big policeman said that night he came, and he was sitting near the front, and he noticed this guest speaker in a suit from on the platform. And as this man reached down to pick up his Bible, he'd see the two silver hooks for he had no hands. And it was Michael, the IRA man. But his eyes didn't go out, but he got his eyesight back. And instead of them putting him in jail because of Michael's injuries, making these bombs, and he's so badly hurt, they put him into like a learning school. They re-educate him. And while he was in there, there was Christian young people there. And they started to witness to him, and they'd give him a ruler. And the ruler would have John 3:16 on it. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And Michael, being Michael, decided, I'm going to get the Bible and read it, and I'm going to argue with him and debate with him. Michael got the Bible and began to read it and got saved and got delivered. And that was him giving his testimony in the Baptist church. And the big RUC officer at the front of the church. And this RUC man was interviewed. This is how he got this tape.
I'll let you hear it.
And at the end of the service, they threw their arms around each other. At the end of the meeting, a bomber and a top RUC officer. That's what God can do. Amen.
That's what our God's able to do.
And we man, I'm telling you about, nobody thought he'd get saved. Over 60 years of age. Told me, he says, Tommy's a perfect cursor.
But I've got saved. You're serving a God this morning.
Now I know you're saved, but for other things, be certain of God. God can do it. Isn't that some testimony?
Yeah.
I tell you, our God's able to do it. We can't explain things.
But God's a reason for everything.
And you know what that RUC officer said? When he went back to his job, he was meant to go back to his job and do like a petty officer, because he couldn't no longer work out. And he said the thing that troubled him was the man in charge of him was changed. He had a new man in charge. And he said the new man in charge was different from the other man. Because every time, I think Victor called him. I think his first name was Victor. Says every time he came into the office, this man would say, Victor, I was thinking of a wee verse last night. He was a grand man. Or he was a real grand man. Some real ones, you know.
I know there's a whole lot of false ones, but there's real ones. And he would quote him a verse of scripture, and that's how he got saved. Look how God moved one man out of the office and another man in. I tell you, be certain of God. Whatever you're facing this week, whatever you're facing today, be certain of God. God's able to do it. Let's stand our feet. It's just gone 10 past. I'm in 35 minutes. Praise God. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes this morning. You have a need, you just reach out in faith to God. And I tell you, God can meet your need. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you this morning for your wondrous grace. We thank you for your mercy. It's far above what we can ever comprehend. How you can reach down to the darkest, filthiest sinner. Make them a child of the King. Oh Lord, we're glad we're saved. We're glad we're delivered to the power of God. We're glad, Lord, for what you've done. For these different testimonies. We give you all the praise. Lord, you know the needs of your people this morning. Lord, I felt led to bring this wee message. Be certain of God. Lord, Elijah was certain. Even when the brook dried up, you brought him a cruse of water. You took a raven to feed him fresh meat. And this wee woman gathered 2 sticks to die. Bake her last meal and die. But because she obeyed your prophet, she lived. And her son lived. Lord, help us to obey your word. Forgive us for our unbelief. In Jesus' precious name. Father, lay your hand of mercy upon every person in this room. Let the power of Almighty God go through each and every one of our bodies. May we be healed from head to toe. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Father, this day may we go out to your blessing upon us. That maketh rich and hath no sorrows. Till thou would come or call. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless each one as a brother Gary come. Don't forget tonight. I won't keep you as long tonight. The Lord will. Let's come in the house of the Lord. God bless each one.
I'm not sure if I can say that, but I'm sure I'll look down on you.